Hello everyone and welcome back to A Year in Two with Vittinghus. As always, your host Hans Christian Vittinghus here. First off, I just want to apologize to all of you guys for not updating you any sooner. I promised in my previous episode to get back to you within a few days. And it's now been 6 days since my last episode, so I have to apologize for that. Sorry guys, it won't happen again. I promise. I'm now in Barcelona in Spain. I'm here for the Spain Masters, or the Barcelona Masters, but I thought it would be only fair if I give you a update on what went on in Livan last week in France in the final 4 days of the competition. When you heard from me the last time, we had played 2 matches in the group stage of the European Men's Team Championships. We had played Wales and Latvia. And as I said in that episode, it wasn't really matches of any high standard of play. But that standard rose a little bit on the next few matches. We had to play Switzerland in the final group match, a match where I got to play the third men singles, a match where I played at a quite decent level. I think my opponent, Nicolas Müller, also did quite well. So I think we played for about half an hour, so that says a little bit about the level being higher than it was in the first couple of days. So it was good for me to get a match where I felt good on court and felt like all the strokes and everything, all the shots were like they were supposed to be, and my body felt good. So I was happy after that match, and I was even chosen to play as well in the semi-final. We played Germany in the quarterfinal. I wasn't picked for the team on that one, but in the semi-final when we played against Russia, I was supposed to play third singles. But in the semi-final, just like in all the other matches, we didn't lose a match in the team match. So we just stopped at 3-0 after the second man singles, which meant that I never really got to go on court against Russia. So we won all ever our matches 5-love, 5-love, 5-love in the group stage, and then quarterfinal, you stop at 3. We won 3-love, quarterfinal, 3-love in the semifinal, and in the final, where I again was off the lineup against the Netherlands, we also won 3-love. And actually, we didn't even drop a single game in any of those matches. That's a historic result for us. We won this event the 8 times if it's been there. We started with the European Men's Team Championships in 2006, and every single edition has been won by Denmark. But this is the first time that we win it without dropping a single game in any of the matches. Of course, that says a bit about our team being really, really strong. I think we have unbelievable depth in men's singles. In fact, I'm myself only the 5th highest ranked player, which I think says a bit about the quality in our men's singles lineup. We also have 2 really, really strong doubles in Anderskov, Kim Astrup, and Mathias Boom as Conrad. So, like, overall, we have a team with some really, really strong high strengths, and we have very good depth as well in both singles and doubles. So I think we have a team that can trouble any team in the world, also for the Thomas Cup that we are going to play in May. Having said that, I think I also have to say that us not losing a single game in any of the matches also unfortunately says a bit about where European badminton is at the moment. After spending a full week in Lyon and watching all the matches, it's clear that everyone, of course, is doing everything they can, and every country is doing the best to catch up. But I think the gap between maybe between Denmark and some of the other European countries, but especially from Asia to the European countries, is unfortunately not getting smaller. On the contrary, it's actually getting bigger and bigger. There's of course some really, really good players in Europe that are not Danish, but the depth in the different countries outside of Denmark is really just not there. I think it's being illustrated pretty well by our women's team that managed to win the event without playing the best two singles players and the best doubles player in both the semi-final and the final, and they still managed to win both matches by a score of 3-1. To me, it's not a healthy sign for European badminton. And unfortunately, I think it's quite difficult to see that changing in the near future. I know that Badminton Europe is thinking about what they can do to support European badminton so we can produce more stars and have more depth across Europe. But it's not an easy fix, and it will take years to solve this issue and get Europe just close to being on par with Asia. So I'm a little sad to see that last week in Levang, but in the end it doesn't ruin the experience I had and we had on the Danish team there. We just had fun all week, and being part of a team with such good players with just a lot of fun all week is just amazing, and I enjoyed being there again. It was the sixth time for me to win the European Men's Team Championships, and I still feel a lot of fun being at an event like this, even though I tried it a few times, and I would be happy to go more times again in the future if that's going to be possible. Anyway, we finished the European Men's Team Championships on Sunday. Then Monday morning, we took the train to the airport in Paris and flew to Barcelona, where I'm now at. As I said in the beginning of the podcast, I'm recording this episode in Barcelona. It's Tuesday as I'm recording, so I've had about a full day here now. Spent the time getting used to the conditions here. I went to the main arena yesterday to have a training session there. I had a physical session this morning at the hotel, and now I'm waiting to go to the main arena again to have another training session to get even more accustomed to the hall. It's a quite slow hall, but it's also a hall where it's actually a bit difficult to see the shuttle sometimes, especially when you play defense. It's also a really, really cold arena, so there's a few things to get used to. Last week it was also rather slow, but the temperature was going up and down all the time. So, but this is a little bit different, and we just need to get used to it. It's not a huge issue, but it's just something we need to get used to. So it's great having a chance to have two training sessions in the main hall before I have to play my first main draw match. Speaking of my first main draw match, it will be tomorrow, Wednesday, against the French number one, Brice Livadès. It's a guy I know really well. I would even describe him as a good friend of mine. We are the same age, so we've known each other since junior days. I've even seen him a few days on my honeymoon. He was in Dubai with a few guys, where I was also with my wife. So we actually spent a few days together on the beach there. So it is a guy that I know pretty well. Also a guy I've played quite a few times. I'm not sure what our head-to-head says, but I think it's pretty even. We played in Malaysia Open last year, where I lost a close three-game battle, and the time before that I beat him in a close two-setter at the European Championships in 2018. So I'm sure tomorrow is also going to be another close one. He seemed to be playing at a good level last week in Lyon, even though he lost a close match to Marc Calcio in the semi-finals. I think he showed once again that he's a guy you need to take seriously. When he's on form, his game is good enough to trouble any player in the world. He's beaten Li Chengwei twice, so that says a bit about what level he can play at. I haven't had my tactical discussions with my coach yet. I'm going to have that tonight, so I can't really share my tactics and my game plan yet. As I said, I just really haven't made it yet, but I'll say in general, Brice is very good at the front of the court. His net shots are very, very tight, so it is possibly a good idea for me to try and keep the game a little bit away from the net when I play him. But yeah, I'll have a good long discussion with my coach tonight about what approach we will go into the match with tomorrow. I'm playing as early as 10:40 in the morning, so it will be an early one, but hopefully a good one. I'm looking forward to it no matter what. Right, I think that's it for my update here from Barcelona. I'll just finish off this podcast answering a couple of questions I got from you guys on my Instagram account. I hope you all follow me there at HK Biddinghus. I've got a question from Sam Kassar 14. He asks me to describe my new contract with the FZ Forza. Yes, if it's a with both Forza and Victor, since they are now the same company. And I'm sure quite a few of you guys have wondered why I'm still playing with a Victor racket, since I changed my sponsors at the start of the year. But it is simply because Victor and Forza are now working closely together, and in Denmark it's the same company that's selling and promoting both brands, so they have given me a lot of time to find the right Forza racket to change to. And since I've had so much tournament activity in the start of the year, I haven't had enough time to test the Forza rackets enough to find out which one suits my game the best. So I'm still in a process of testing them a bit in training. And so far I'll just carry on playing with my Thruster racket from Victor. I will also keep on playing with Victor shoes, but I will actually do that for the entirety of my Forza, FZ Forza contract. It's in the contract that I'll play with the Forza clothing, Forza rackets, but Victor shoes and also Victor strings I'll carry on playing with. So it is a kind of a mixed contract, but I would say in general like 90% of it is a FZ Forza contract. But I'll speak highly of both brands, because I've only been happy with how they treated me at Victor for the past couple of years. So I'm just happy that I still get to be in touch with them for the coming years as well. A second question I got is something a lot of you have asked about. I think I got three or four questions this time, and in the previous episodes when I've asked questions, you also asked me about how I keep motivated and what motivates me. And in general, I just say that I keep being motivated because I still feel like I have a potential that I haven't fully realized yet. I think I can still get better and better. I think my game is still evolving, and most importantly, I'm still having a lot of fun playing badminton. And having fun is basically what motivates me. If I think it's still fun, I'm still motivated to do it. And obviously, I can also make a living off it. So, I think most people, if you can make a living out of something that you find just basically fun to do, then why not do it? So I'm still highly motivated to keep on going. I still feel like I can develop my game and get even better. And I'm very sure that if I keep working the way I do, I will also have some big experiences ahead of me. I've had a lot in the past, but I'm very sure that with the right work and hard work, I will have lots of big moments ahead of me still. So that's what keeps me motivated, that I still believe I can develop my game, and I still enjoy playing. So it's basically as simple as that. I hope that answers your question about you guys' questions about my motivation. And that will be it for today, guys and girls. Thank you so much for listening. Please keep rating the podcast or send me a comment. Any kind of feedback is much appreciated. Thanks a lot, everyone, and I'll be back soon from Barcelona. And this time, I promise you guys, it will be within a couple of days. See you. Bye.